God is great and greatly to be praised. Has he done anything for you this week? He desires our prayer and our praises. He inhabits the praises of the saints. Hallelujah. And all he has to do is just give him some praise. He keeps doing great things for us. Hallelujah. We keep focusing on the bad and overlooking all the good that he does. Hallelujah. So we need to be thankful. If we just be thankful for what he is doing on the positive side for us, we won't have time to think about the bad. And we will have a good day every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad that he let you be in the day. And if you ought to have, if you have some breath, give God some praise in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Who's been looking at March Madness? Okay. Your team losing or winning? All right. And we got one we need to praise now, who's not only winning in March, he's winning 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may have some upsets along the way, but the battle is yours. Hallelujah. You already won that. So let's give God some praise to this house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. We give glory and honor and praise to God who has allowed us to come together one more time. Hallelujah. He has kept us now 83 days in 2019. Hallelujah. In spite of ourselves, he's still doing good things for us. Hallelujah. And that's the love of God. To our presider, Dr. Stephen Lewis. And his alternate, Elders Laura Bush. To all the other preachers in the house, we praise God for you. To everyone who holds an elected position in the house of God, praise God for you. And everybody else is a layperson, so we praise God for you. Hallelujah. Your position as a layperson is just as important as the position of the officers of the church. Because no need to have no officers, don't have no lay people to be officers over. So your position is important. And don't you forget that. Hallelujah. What time is it? Good news time. God's word is good news. And it's good news in this bad news world. So we come to bring you some more good news. Didn't come to bring you nothing new. Same word that's been here since the beginning. Hallelujah. From the book of 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. Starting with the third verse. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now, yielded spiritual man, mental man, physical man. We give them all to you that you may use us for your glory and your honor and your praise. Send a word full of power. Send a word filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Send a word, God, of hope and deliverance, victory, joy, and peace. Send your word that it causes us to be more like you and less like ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God say, amen. Are we there? 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but minded through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we'll stop there. Repeat after me, the power of the word. The power of the word. As we already alluded to, the word has been around longer than anything. And the word will stay here longer than anything. The word cannot be destroyed. The word cannot be altered, even though we try to. The word cannot and will never, ever change, though we try to change it all the time. We try to change it to fit our desires, our concerns, the way we feel and think. We try to fit the word into our position to justify why we don't do what we're supposed to do, or why we're doing what we're not supposed to do. The word is here, and it has been there, as we said, since the beginning. St. John 1:1 say, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. Okay? The word was God. Okay? And the word was made flesh. Okay? The word is what brought everything into existence. That's power. The Word was here before the earth was, before the world was. The Word was here. But nothing was going on until the Word became a spoken word. When the Word said, "Let there be," okay, things started moving. From nothing, it was created. Things that we can't see. It was made firmaments. The world was made by God speaking. That's power. No physical labor had to be done, just his spoken word. And that word has been given to us. That word not only has been given to us, but that word has been placed in us. Okay. And we have power that's in the word. But in order to exercise that power, we must first have faith. Okay. Now faith. This is what it's saying. This is what faith is. This is the evidence of things that we don't see. If we don't see it, we tend not to believe it. If we got to either see it, hear it, feel it, or taste it. Okay. And if we can't do one of those, you're just talking to the hand. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word. So you got to hear the word, and not just hear it with these physical ears. We must hear it with a spiritual view. Believing and knowing God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. So we believe God, hopefully. We believe him for some things. But we got to learn to believe him for all things. Nothing exists without God. You may try to give the credit to some other thing in some other way, but in the end, God is in all of it. Say the earth was formed and through a big explosion. Well, what made the explosion? And what made the thing there to be exploded? And it just happened to be kicked out from the nucleus there far enough that it's in the exact right position for life to inhabit the earth. And then it stays on orbital at that same good position where life can take place. But then they failed to recognize that something had to do that. So even if you don't want to go the Bible way, you still it's still going to have to be somebody greater than us that has done this. The word God spoke, and the world came into existence. God spoke and called for light, and the sun was formed. God is the Word, and God is all powerful. He has everything, and he knows everything. Alright? He sees everything. Nothing in the whole universe is hidden from him. Not a thing. And nothing gets by. So we don't have to keep count of anything. God already got that handled. And one of these days we're going to have to give an account for our deeds. The word of God is powerful. And when we speak, we can speak things into existence because the God that's in us did not promise tell us the power of life and death lies in our tongue. So we got to be careful how we speak things over our lives and over our children and over our grandchildren and over everything is over ourselves. Because your words will cause things to happen. So God told us in Ezekiel and showed us how we can speak and things happen. And Ezekiel, he was taken into a valley. And this valley was full of bones. And the bones were dry bones. And not just dry, but very dry. And God had Ezekiel to assess the valley that he was carrying them over and let him see what was there lying in the valley. And then he asked him a question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? God asks us that same question. Can life come back into this situation that you have proclaimed to be dead? Can hope be found in a relationship? Because we'll say the relationship is dead. Ain't nothing there. Ain't nothing going to come back. If it came the first time, it can come again. If you would what? Just allow it to. But we write it off. Never to be again. But God's saying, can you revive this relationship? Yeah, yeah. We have church people that were in a relationship, and I don't mean the philosophic thing. I'm talking about like boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual relationship. You used to run together. And you used to pray together. Now you hardly even speak to one another. And God is saying, can you revive the spiritual relationship you used to have? Can you find life in that dead relationship? And Ezekiel said, God, I really don't know, but you do. You know whether they can or not. And whatever you say, I believe it. Hallelujah. And so God said, speak to this dead situation. Speak to these dry bones. God is telling you to speak. But you say, no, God, ain't no need. They can't hear. Or they won't hear. Ezekiel could have said, God, why you want me to talk to some bones? They ain't got no ears. How they gonna hear what I'm saying? We got to stop questioning God and just do what he says. Ezekiel didn't question him. But Ezekiel said, and I prophesied. He told me to prophesy, and so I just started prophesying. God told you to do something. Why not? Why aren't you doing it? Because you're doing like the scripture saying, you're walking according to the flesh rather than the spirit. Said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war out of the flesh. See, you're clothed in flesh, but you shouldn't do what the flesh tells you to do. This is just a garment, an earthly garment. Because this earthly house is going to have to go one day. But we're clothed in that, but we need to do what the spiritual man says do. The fleshly man tells us one thing. The spiritual man tells us another. So Ezekiel said, I began to prophesy unto the bone. And as I began to prophesy, something started happening. When you start talking to God and talk to him in the spirit of worship, something going to happen. A change will come about. But you just got to get in the spiritual realm. Get out of that physical realm. You get out of that fleshly realm and get in the spirit of him. That spirit is knowing that what God said is so. And what God said will happen, shall happen. And we speak it with authority. of God's word. I preached, and there was a noise and a rattle going on in the valley. And Zeke said that gave me inspiration to preach even the more. Said I kept right on preaching. Said, "Oh ye jack dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord." God is saying, "Oh ye people of the living God, hear what I'm saying. You're going everywhere and looking for everywhere for your answer. And I gave you the answer. Speak to these situations. And speak with authority. Don't speak hoping. Don't speak doubting. Don't do it just to be doing it. But when you speak, know that it's already happened. Because our God has already done it for you. Even before you were born. Now you just need the faith to go through. Said the bones began to make a noise. And every bone began to move. Every bone finding its own bone. You just need to get in the word and let the word move you the way that God wants you to be moved. And not where you want it to happen, not how you want it to happen, not when you want it to happen, not where you want it to happen, but let it happen wherever and whenever God says so. All right? Because our time is not God's time. Our way is not God's way. For our weapons are not of our warfare are not carnal. See, we've been using cardinality in our Bibles. We base everything on this worldly things. Things that we can see. But we got to realize that we're in a spiritual war. Looking like a cardinal war. And that's why we've been missing out. We've been fighting physical things. We've been fighting the person. Oh, y'all got quiet then. You've been fighting the person and not the spirit that's in the person. God says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The fleshly person says, yes, they do. They ain't crazy. They ain't on fifth floor. And they ain't in charity. So they know what they're doing. And some of them that work that church, that they, the people know what they're doing too. But the words has said, they know not what they do. Jesus spoke those words from the cross as they were being crucified. He said, Father, forgive them. Now, if Jesus can, well, I ain't gonna say if he can because he did. Now, since Jesus dying on the cross, being crucified by the church, can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they can do. You can too. Somebody said, if a robin can say thank you, you can do it too. Since Jesus already prepared a way for it, you can too. You just don't want to. Lord have mercy. The weapon that is being used against you is not a knife, not a gun, not a baseball bat, or any of the other things that can harm you or kill you. But it's cardinal. Those cardinal things. But the word, the weapon that we're using is mighty. Through God. Hallelujah. And it's through the pulling down of strongholds. So if you use the word, the battle you've been fighting for 10 years have been already over. If you use the word, the hardship you've been struggling with for 50 years will have been over. When you use the word and stay consistent with the word, things will happen because the word pulls down the stronghold. You don't have to do it. See, the problem is you've been fighting it. And then we'll sing the song, the battle's not yours. And maybe that's what's wrong with the song. It doesn't name me. It says you. The battle is not yours. You need to change that. Say, the battle's not mine. It's the Lord. Because that's what they meant when they're saying it's not yours. They're talking about you look at yourself. But also, you've been leaving yourself out when you say it. So you need to say, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And since it's the Lord's battle, let the Lord have it. He knows how to fix it. He knows what to do and when to do it. And you can't do anything better than him. You can't even come up close to what he does. It's mighty to God and to pulling down the stronghold, casting down imaginations. You know what? We got some great imagination, don't we? We can just sit here and imagine. We'll call it discerning. But we'll imagine that so-and-so is looking at me. And don't let them hunt somebody next to them and whisper. Now they're talking about me. Our imagination just go wild. And we don't imagine, never imagine they say something good about me. There always had to be something bad they're saying about me. And why you think they always say something bad about me? Because you always are bad? You need to start thinking good about yourself. And then maybe there's somebody else that think good about you. But it casts down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The word, powerful word, it'll pull it down. You don't have to fight. The battle's already won. You just need to stand through it all and stand with joy. Don't wait for the battle to get over. Stop rejoicing as soon as you get started in the battle. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord will give you strength. Somebody find Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12, and we're going to bring it on in. The word of God is quick. The word of God is alive. Tell you people, tell somebody it ain't dead. It's living. The word of God is alive. That means it can help you because it's living. It ain't dead. It ain't just words on some paper. Okay? The words are alive. And anything alive still can do something for you. Because the dead can't. The word is alive. Uh-huh. And powerful. The word is alive. So not only is it alive, it is powerful. All right. The word of God is active. It is living and it's working when you allow it to work. But some of us have laid it off. Some of us have given it the pink slip. But the word is alive and it is working in your favor. Okay, continue. And sharper than any double-edged sword. It's sharper than anything on this earth and in this world. Nothing is sharper than the word. So you want to cut somebody, cut them with the word. You want to wound somebody, wound them with the word. Okay, let's see how sharp it is. Okay, what is it? Okay, it penetrates even to the dividing of your soul and spirit. That's sharp. Because see, two of them are so intertwined. You can't hide or tell one from the other. Where the soul ends and the spirit takes over. Okay, because someone, now what's the difference between soul and spirit? They're just about the same thing. They're intertwined in the main. And you can't divide it. That's why you can't tell the difference between the two. You ain't sharp enough. But the word can cut it right where they connect. Separate the soul from the spirit. The word said, God formed man and breathed into his nostrils. And man became a living soul. But the spirit of God was in it. Because it's the spirit of God that quickened them into life. And when the spirit separates itself from the body, life goes away. Right. Penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, and also what? The joints and the marrows separate them too. Now, that's power. It is a judge of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, what weapon you know can judge your thoughts and attitudes of your heart? When you say God knows my heart, that's your proof right there. He knows more about your heart than you do. He knows because he knows what your heart is intend to do. You tell me one thing, but God sees what you intend to do. You may tell one thing and plan to do something else. God already knows that. That's the power of the word. All right? Continue. There's nothing hidden from God. Anything existing in the world, not just on the earth, throughout the universe, God sees it. He knows it. So when you do something wrong and go to God in prayer, go to him in truth. Because he already know. Don't go to him and tell him why you did it. You can't explain it away. So don't say, Lord, I wouldn't have done it. If thus and thus didn't happen. Lord, I didn't intend to do it. He already knows your heart. And whether you intended or not. All he wants you to do is tell what you did. Right. What's my proof? The very first sin. Adam, what did you do? He didn't ask me, Adam, why did you do it? But it's Adam, what did you do? And instead of Adam telling what he did, Adam told him why he did it. He said, that woman. So he left Adam and went to ask Eve, give her the same opportunity. Eve, what do you do? That serpent. It won't know me with the serpent. So don't tell him why. Just tell him what you did. And we need really need to tell what you did because you need to admit that you did something wrong. When you're saying why you did it, you're saying, but this I was justified in doing it. That's why I did it. But that's not why you did it. You did it because you wanted to do it. All right. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. No matter how much you try to cover it up, it lies bare before the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Continuing. So everything that is uncovered and lay bare before the eyes of God. He's the one you're going to have to give an account. So he already knows. Every idle word that we utter, we're going to have to give an account of it one day. Power of the word. You don't have to fight. Lay some prayer on them. Lay the word of God on them. And let me say this too. And you ain't going to get it resolved if you go into him in anger about the person. You got to first forgive him. Then you go to God. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you come and bring your gift to the altar, and remember you got an ought against somebody, leave your gift. Go back to that person. Get it straight now. Then you can come back. See, we've been praying about something with animosity in the heart, and God is not doing anything for you because you've been doing it the wrong way. You got to forgive first. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Take care today. Why it's still called today. Because tomorrow is not promised. You can be long gone by tomorrow. And if you're gone and that wrath is on you, in hell you will lift your eyes. Don't hold that deep. Don't listen to the flesh. Got you think you hurting the person? You ain't hurting nobody but yourself. Because you sending yourself to hell trying to make somebody else pay. And the word says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Not your job to get them back. It's your job to continue to love them and pray for them. And God will get them back for you. The word of God. Power of the word of God. He can fix it for you. And he will, if you allow him to. Is that enough today? Nobody choke. All right. And get you some Alka-Seltzer so it can help digest it. Gospel Imitations extended to whosoever will, you may come. If you don't have Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, and you desire to go to heaven when you're through with this earthly life, you must be born again of the Spirit and of the water. If you're not born again, Jesus said you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the way you get born again is to believe that Jesus is Lord. And you accept him as Lord of your life. Believe that he died for you. Rose again on the third day. And ascended into heaven. Sit on the right hand side of the Father. Pleading for you. Right now. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. That is being born again. You cry singing, Invitations Extended. If you are without church and need the church, and here's where God has led you to be. now your time to come. All the concerns you need to cast upon him, now the time to come. Doors of faith are open. Will you come?